Now let's read God's word from 1 John 5:13. Let me read it for us. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen. You know, after preaching through the book of Acts, I thought I would do a quick review or recap of very important Christian truth, and today I will consider the assurance of salvation. Next week, adoption. But today, the assurance of salvation. I think this is the most important topic that we could think about as Christians and as a church. Very, very important topic. What is the point of talking about Book of Acts and learning from what Apostle Paul did when we neglect our own salvation? And the church is such that they are maybe full of Christians in the building, but there are always people who are unsure about their salvation. So it is good for us to talk about this topic from time to time. So I'll use a very simple definition to start with from Robert Latham's book. What is assurance of salvation? As it says, it is a conviction. But conviction properly founded that one is in the state of grace and will attain everlasting salvation. That's what theologian says. But simply put, in layman's term, assurance salvation is, if I ask you that great evangelism explosion question, do you know for sure that you are going to be with God in heaven if you were to die tonight? That very simple question, what is the answer to that question? What is your answer to that question? Is that, I know for sure I'll be in heaven with Christ in God, and that's what I know for sure. Praise God. Or is that, I guess so. I hope so. Maybe. I don't know. I am not so sure. So moving from those categories to, as we have read in 1 John 5:13, I know. He was writing, the Apostle John was writing to you who believe. He's not speaking to non-Christians, but people who claim to know God, claim to believe in the name of Son of God. But his whole point is not to stay there, but you may know. So moving from I believe, I hope so, I kind of know, to I know, that conviction that I am in the state of grace and I will attain, I will gain that everlasting life when my life end. That is whole topic of assurance of salvation. I have given you on the right-hand side of our bulletin the whole paragraph from our confession. I am not going to read, but I will make few references. But when you go home, you read this and carefully think about your salvation. You know, past few months, I've been helping out my wife at her work. And, you know, where I stand, there is radio, and they always put on the radio show, the music. So always I'm hearing this music right behind me. And right after Halloween, they start putting on Christmas songs in early November. And I was thinking, why so early? Why Christmas songs in early November? And I realized, if you are non-Christian or non-believer, how and who are you going to really thank? This season of Thanksgiving, are you going to thank some kind of lady of luck? Or are you going to thank you? I thank me for my success? And I realized, really, there is no category of giving thanks. And I told you once, and I want you to know this. In the early 90s, my hometown, they started this cable TV. Early 1990 or something like that. I've told you this once. There was a time when people in different religions in my home country, they were able to see what other religions will do because these cable TVs brought Christian TVs or Buddhist TVs, Catholic TVs into their home. Because if you're a Christian, you would never really visit Buddhist temple. So that's when people really got to see what Christians do, what Buddhists do, what Catholics do, and all these cable TVs. And one thing that Buddhists realized, listening and watching Christian TV shows and worship, one thing they said, I still remember and I told you once, was that Christians sing song to their God. They praise God. And I realized, that's right. When you think about other religions, you go visit Buddhist temples or, I don't know, Islamic centers, whatever, you do not see them praising God. And I realized once again today, preparing for this message, being assured of your own salvation gives you that eternal gratification, that eternal thanksgiving in your heart forever to our God who has done something for us, sinners. And I believe that is the privilege that you and I, we have in Christ for salvation. So today I'm going to spend some time, give you some categories for you to examine your own heart, yourself, where you stand in relation to the gospel message. Let's briefly talk about the gospel. Gospel has two sides to it. One is objective side, the other is subjective side. Objective side has few other nicknames such as indicative or historia salutis, that is historical salvation. So that is the objective side, which is God has done something in history and God does not need your permission, my approval or your approval, my proving what God has done. There's the objective side that God has done something. But there is also, importantly, that subjective side to that objective gospel. That's why, if you listen to Jesus Christ returning from the desert, what did he preach? As we find Matthew 4, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why would he say that? It is not my father who's going to repent for me. It is not your spouse who's going to repent for you. But it is you who have to do that. Personally, subjectively speaking, God has done something great in Christ. So what is your response to that? Christ says, repent. And depending on your repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your entrance into that kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, will be determined. Subjective side, very, very, very important. And Acts 16, to that Philippian jailer. After the earthquake, the apostles were, the whole thing, the jail people were escaping. And he asked this question, "Sirs," to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What does he say? What do they say? They said, "Believe," that is an imperative, "believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." What am I going to do? What must I do to be saved? And they say, believe. Respond to what God has done. Your own response. Acts 17. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance that God overlooked, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent." See, gospel has two sides. And I believe oftentimes we give emphasis on one. Reformed churches, in by and large, they talk about objective side. Baptist side, subjective side. But it has to go hand in hand. So only those who respond subjectively to that objective gospel in repentance and in faith, that is the same reality, in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, will be saved from the wrath and judgment of God. And as we have read from the Heidelberg Catechism today, it is our Father, because there is no, for us, grandfather. Nobody inherits salvation from their parents. As Luther says, I have given you the quotation, every man must do two things alone. He must do his own believing and his own dying. That's right. So no matter what the cause is that you are here today, you must do your own believing. That is repenting and putting your faith in Christ Jesus subjectively, right? That's the whole point of the gospel message. Now, let me give you some categories to think about, because as I was writing this sermon this week, after a couple of days, I wasn't really making much progress because there was confusion until I realized this. There are at least four types of people when you think about the assurance of salvation. First group is, they are in the state of grace and they are assured of their salvation. First group, good group, who are convinced and they know, according to 1 John, I know I'm saved, and that is referred to in our confession. First paragraph, 18:1, such as truly believe and love him in sincerity, endeavoring to walk, that is sanctification life, that is all there. Believe, love God, love Christ, and endeavoring to walk, then you are in that first category. Second group of people, they're in the state of grace, but they are not sure that they are saved. And that group is safeguarded in third paragraph. It says, this infallible assurance does not so belong to the essence of faith. I'm going to explain this in our Bible study today after the service, but let's just leave it there. People who are saved and they have faith, saving faith, but not so strong faith, so they're always in the state of doubt. That group. Third group. People who are not saved, in fact, but they think they are. They are not saved, but they think they are saved because wrong categories were given to them, such as giving tithes to the church, faithful attendance to the church, service in the church, wrong categories. So they put their faith and trust in some form of merit. So they think they are saved, but they are not saved. And I'm sure you could think about people in the church. I've seen many people like that. And those people are referred to in first paragraph of our confession as hypocrites and unregenerate men who vainly deceive themselves. So third group of people are that. Fourth group are not saved, and they know they are not saved, and they are proud about that. So four categories of people. So when I was thinking about this, I am speaking assurance of salvation to first and second and third group. And my prayer is that if you are in the second and third and fourth group, move into the first. Assurance is the point. So wherever you are, whatever you are, whoever you are in your state of grace, today take a moment to think about that. Now, I'm going to give just a few points today. First is, the assurance of salvation is essential, foundational, and vital for all of Christian life. I'm going to explain. Assurance of salvation is essential part of Christianity, even though the third paragraph of our confession says it is not essential to saving faith, but I'm going to argue that it is very, very important, essential for your spiritual well-being. Christianity offers total salvation, not religion, not improvement, coaching, some teaching system, But when God so loved the world, what did he give? What did our God give to the fallen, sinful world? He has given his only begotten Son. That was his solution. So what do you get from Christianity or the church? What do we preach? What do we offer to you? As I said a couple weeks ago, our God offers you or to the fallen world his only Son. That's his solution. Not a system, not simply teaching about it, but his Son. Therefore, to be uncertain about your salvation is to be uncertain about your relationship and fellowship with that resurrected and living Son of God, apart from whom there is no salvation. You see, salvation is given in Christ. That is why being assured of salvation is tantamount to having a living relationship with Christ. You see, we cannot think about salvation as some kind of a theory or something that you get apart from Christ. So, when you really think about it, assurance of salvation has to do with your relationship with Christ, living Christ. When you are not so sure about your own salvation, it is because your relationship with Christ is not certain. And the implications of that uncertain relationship with Christ, obviously, is great and dangerous for your eternal well-being. So, to be uncertain about this gospel, good news, is to be uncertain about good of the good news. And by the nature of the case, good news is good. News when it is true, first of all, and when you are sure of it. Two things have to be there. Good news is good news when it is really true, which we say, according to the Bible, it is. But also when you are sure of it. No matter how objective and true it may be, if you lack assurance of it, it cannot be good news for us. Also, think about this. If you went through conversion experience as an adult, or if you say, I was born again through such and such time, could you say, I was converted to Christ or Christianity, but I'm not so sure? It does not make sense. Conversion or being born again assumes some kind of assurance. It may be small, but without assurance, really. So the category, assurance of salvation, there I don't think you could clearly define this is assurance of salvation, this is saving salvation. No, it is oftentimes in reality is jumbled together. So I'm asking you this question. If you are unsure about your own salvation, it may be because you were never really converted in the first place. Yes, there are categories of people who struggle with doubt, who struggle about this conviction, as the third paragraph says. But what I'm saying is, maybe it is because of your unconverted status. That is why you are unsure. Simply put, when I was searching, God has put in my heart, in my own experience, that's why I could speak, though it is not infallible, but I could say from my own experience, when I was searching for God, when I look back, my conversion, really it was about being assured of salvation. That I would call my conversion. Before that, I knew the facts. I knew from at least Bible and hearing from preaching, what the church was, what they offered. But very boring to me. But when I look back, what made the difference? By the grace of God, I would say there was a point in time, not a single day moment, but being sure of your own salvation, my own salvation. Let me give you just a few more categories. I'm going to dissect faith. If you know these things, great. But usually in our tradition, Reformed theology, when we talk about faith, what is faith? We are really talking about three different components of that faith. As you know, James 2:19 says this, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." What does that say? What does that mean? Even demons know something about God. But those knowing the facts alone do not save demons, according to James 2:19. So, Reformed fathers always thought about faith in three categories. And when I give you these three categories, you examine your faith. I'm just quoting from Ligonier Ministries' faith categories. First category of faith is, in Latin term, notitia. It refers to the content of faith, or for us, Christ, someone. But in order to believe it, for you to possess saving faith, it is simply saying you must know something about that faith or content of that faith. So notitia simply refers to the content. For us, Christ, the gospel message. But there's a second category that is assensus in Latin. Assensus basically is giving an assent, your assent, to that content. That's how saving faith, second category of faith, saving faith is defined. Assensus is our conviction that the content of our faith is true. In other words, you have to give an assent to it. But there's a third and final category to that saving faith. Even demons know and believe what that probably refers to is that notitia, the content, and even giving an assent. Oh, Christ is Son of God. Such knowledge for demons. But the demons lack this third category, and third category that comprises that saving faith is what is referred to as fiducia or fiducia. Fiducia simply refers to personal trust and reliance. So, there's a content, there is you giving assent to that content, but that those two are not enough to save a person. But the third category is that you have to trust and rely on Christ alone for your salvation. So, that statement, Ligonier's statement goes something like this. Faith is only effectual. Faith is only effectual if, knowing about and assenting to the claims of Jesus, one personally trusts in Him alone for salvation. So those three categories that comprises that saving faith, and I want you to think about your own faith. Do you know the content? Do you give assent to that content? Or if you are doubting that claim and cannot give that assent to that content, then you have to work on this category. But I suspect, by and large, many people in church, inside of church, who lack assurance is the third category. They know, they assent to it, but there is really no relationship that is defined in trust and reliance. The third category. So, according to the Ligonier statement, that if you're missing the third category, faith is not really effectual. That faith does not save. Is that what only R.C. Sproul would say? No. Let me read you our larger Catechism 72 and how our fathers in the faith define justifying faith. Same thing as saving faith. And those three categories are already in there. 72. Answer is, justifying faith is a saving grace wrought in the heart of a sinner by the Spirit and the Word of God, whereby he being convinced of his sin and misery. That's the first button that you have to walk on. You have to be convinced of his sin and misery and of the disability in himself and all other creatures to recover him out of his lost condition. Not only assent to the truth of the promise of the gospel, but receives and rests upon Christ and his righteousness. Not only assenting to the truth, that is, notitia and assensus probably, but also receives and rests, probably fiducia, the third category, upon Christ and his righteousness. That's how we define. That's how I would define my pre-conversion and after conversion. I knew. I gave assent to that, the whole category. I didn't fight the truth. I didn't doubt in a sense that I was an atheist, no. But it really did not have anything to do with me, right? The third category, that trust and reliance. And that's how our fathers in the faith define saving faith. So I would say that is why being assured of your salvation is essential to your spiritual well-being and future eternal security. But it is also foundational and vital. Foundational because if you're not sure about your own salvation, nothing in the Bible will make sense. How can we talk about fellowshipping with other believers? Serving the world? If you lack assurance, how can you engage in evangelism and even prayer? How can you boldly approach the throne of grace when you are not sure about anything? So being sure of your own salvation has implications for all, I would say, all of your Christian life. Now, then, how does that assurance come about? Okay, so Sam, I understand, but how do I get on with it? How do I work on it? Romans 8:16 says this. How are we assured of our salvation? Is it my own self-conviction? I think about these few categories. No. It says, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit, that is Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And the means that the Holy Spirit uses to increase your faith or you being assured of your salvation is obviously the ordinary means of grace, but chiefly the Word of God. How does Holy Spirit convince you with your spirit that you are a child of God? The Word of God. You could, for a time, sing songs, praise songs, to boost your confidence in God. It does work sometimes, but not for long. So when you lack your assurance of salvation, the first place that you should turn to is the Word of God. And as you read more and more of the Word of God, God uses that Word of God to convince you. You think it is a circular thing, circular reasoning. There's no category out there that will convince you but the Word of God. And Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to testify with your own spirit that you are a child of God. Third thing that I would say about assurance is assurance can be obtained. That's the whole point of the confession. Assurance can be obtained, therefore it must be obtained. Just because third paragraph says it is not essential to saving faith does not mean it is okay for us to say, okay, here are the facts. You decide whatever you want. Or if you are unsure, that's okay. No. That is the very opposite of all that God has done and all that God requires from you. In normal Bible language, for example, John 14:1, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. When Jesus says believe, he's not simply saying unconvinced belief, right? So in normal Bible language, when he says faith, they are talking about assurance of faith. When they are talking about belief, they are really saying trust and rely upon God to believe in him. So there is no, these fine categories, Bible says, okay, what is your degree in your faith? Okay, leave it aside, that's okay. No. Bible commands you to work on your assurance of salvation. Use the means. God will help you increase your faith. Word of God never commands us to be lukewarm, never commands us to stay unsure about your own salvation. It says completely opposite. 2 Peter 1:10, it says you to increase, work on your salvation, to be sure about your salvation. Now, I'm going to end today with just a few, just very brief practical things, and I'll be done. Assurance really is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot separate salvation from Christ. It comes hand in hand, together as a package. You receive Christ, you receive salvation. Therefore, to be unsure about your own salvation, as I said, is about being unsure about your relationship with Christ. Very, very important. So really, assurance is about relationship with Christ. Second thing, assurance doesn't come naturally. It is the precious end result of pursuing that vital relationship with Christ. Okay, so if you say, okay, I am going to wait, it's not going to work. I am just going to wait until God shows something great, miracle or something like that, that I'll be convinced, or something, or the care worries, then I'll be convinced, or that I'm going to put it off to tomorrow, next day. What if God calls you home tonight? So putting it off will not solve the problem. Assurance doesn't come naturally. In fact, everything will work against it. Devil will work against it because that's the last thing that he wants you to have. Assurance, third thing, assurance comes when you use means of grace faithfully, especially the Word of God. The last thing that I want to say, assurance, if you are a believer, and yes, there might be times where you doubt that salvation, especially when you go through great conflict in your life, great suffering in your life, but also when you go through sinful behavior too. That is why Bob Latham said, and I think he's right, assurance really for the believers has to do with your progress in your sanctification. Without you being progressed in your sanctification, that assurance that you possessed will diminish over time. If you do not work on it, if you just leave it alone, that whatever joy that you had in your conversion experience, whatever that, will really diminish. And you doubt because you are in that gross sin, and it will assail your conscience and all that you stood for, and then you start doubting. And I one time heard a pastor in his preaching, he said, you know, only thing that Satan has to do to fail you is to put that seed of doubt in your heart. And I think in certain measure it is true. If you know your Bible, this week, actually, I spent my time in 1 John. Do you remember 1 John? I cannot go into too much of it, but I will just say this for your own Bible study. 1 John really never really made sense to me because Apostle John sees the world in black and white. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If you love the world, the love of God is not in you. That kind of language. Black or white. Very extreme language. But Bob Latham gave that one comment. 1 John is all about assurance of salvation. I've never thought about it in that way. And then I realized, went back and I read the whole thing and studying it. I'm not going to do that today because it's going to be too long. But if you go home and read 1 John through the lens of not sanctification, not justification, but through the lens of Christians being assured of a salvation, then it will make a lot of sense. For example, it talks a lot about loving your brother. If you don't love your brother, then you are a liar, he would say. And I think, what does that mean? Because I cannot keep up loving my neighbor all the time, right? But when you think about that in terms of assurance of salvation, it makes sense, because if you don't, your assurance of salvation will diminish, decrease, and you will end up really acting like non-believer. And you go home and read 1 John through that lens, a lot of that will make sense. My sanctification will help me really be assured of my salvation. My hope and prayer today is that all of us will grow in the knowledge and grace of God. And when you find that salvation, or once again being assured of that salvation, that will give you lasting joy. I'm sure you have many questions or doubts about, let's say, next year, how this church is going to go on. And I'll share my personal thoughts probably in January. But where we could start, all of us could start, is by examining where you stand in terms of salvation. When you are truly, really assured of your salvation, that will give you spiritual energy to obey God's commandment. And I pray that God will bless all of our efforts together to live a Christian life as a church together. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for, out of all these categories of people, I pray for the people who deep inside of their hearts, they know they are not Christians. And there's no urgency in their hearts to pursue salvation in Christ. I pray for those. I cannot, nobody can convince them of this truth but the Spirit of God. By the fact that they are here today, sitting in this place, you are showing them grace. Then I pray that Holy Spirit, oh God, you will draw them near to you. Work in their hearts. Remove that cold stones, stumbling blocks from their hearts, so that they may freely come to the Savior Jesus Christ. Now I pray for the people who are saved and they know they are saved, but whatever afflictions, through whatever circumstances. And for the people who went through many church experiences and they have now really given up, I pray for those people that you will show them grace. Once again, Lord, give them the joy of salvation, joy of the Lord, that their heart and their life will be strengthened and they'll be ready to serve you and for your kingdom for the rest of their lives. And there are people who have been serving in the church for a long time. Even this church. For this church to function, there are many people needed to serve. And I pray that you will give them the fruit of the Spirit, that they may rejoice in their salvation. Once again, let their joy in Christ be the strength to go on and serve. And I pray that you will show us grace as a church, as we face this end of the year and next year. Help us to trust in you. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lastly, I pray for our children. Our children, our covenant children who are growing up in the church, because the church was always there for them, which is a blessing. But I fear that they may presume, because my father goes to church, my mother goes to church, that somehow I am saved. No, I pray that in time that you will give them the conviction of their sin and misery. Conviction about grace Savior we have in Christ Jesus. And in time, they will truly, really confess and believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of their lives. Show all of us such grace. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.